Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Coast Packers. You got Amar Desai and Bernie Bango here. Excited to get it up and chop it up about the latest, newest members of the Packers team. Conclude our 11 draft picks, around 10 to 12 UDFAs. And I'm just ready to chop it up and really just break it down and just see what Gutekunst was cooking this past weekend. Because I know a lot of us were loving some of the picks, and then we were kind of scratching our heads for a few, but those times in between was kind of crazy. Bernie, how you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing great. You know, there was a couple picks that I tried not to have that knee-jerk reaction to, and I was just like, just calm down, dude, and like, just go watch some tape, do some reading, do like some research before you start voicing your opinion too much. And I've eaten crow a few times now with Goody, you know. And you know, like, eating crow is a good thing, though. Like, agreed. Even though it doesn't taste good, right, though, it's also, though, like, oh man, like I said, this guy was gonna be worth nothing and he was awesome. So I'm just trying my best to stay patient before I start casting stones.
I feel you on that, man. I know. I was telling folks on Thursday night, like, every time I've not been happy with a pick, it's turned out to work out. So for me, with True North Packer fans commentators, he saw my reaction on Thursday night. I wasn't tipping picks, but I was seeing them before they came so I could prepare myself for a convo. And when I saw that Jordan Morgan pick, I'm like, fuck, I threw my phone, like, you know, kind of far. And I was just like, because, you know, Cooper DeJean was there. And
Kool-Aid was there.
And then what pissed me off was the Lions just trade up in front of us to get Tyrion Arnold, who was right there. Yeah. That's the one where I'm like, you bastards, right? Yeah. But but to answer true, I am over it now. I think me and Bernie can say that we love the Packers, we love football. And we do the best we can to be as educated as possible, but we are nowhere as close to being as experts as some of these guys like Jim Nagy, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, and even, you know, for that matter, Gutekunst and all those guys. So when I read back and I read some of the things that some of these guys that actually have worked with these players and had them at the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, who's in charge, he's a director of the Senior Bowl, and just Ben Fennell, a whole bunch of dudes, I'm happy with the pick. Absolutely. I think that, you know, one is the one thing me and Bernie have always been saying here, you got to protect the franchise, right? And I knew that. After seeing Goody kind of like really knock out the park these last few drafts, I promised myself that I might have been a little hurt, but not upset.
Yeah. He sewed it here. It wasn't overly sexy, but it fits the bill, right? But it didn't need to be sexy, right? We needed offensive line. We needed secondary, right? Specifically the safety position, right? You know, I guess like certain cornerbacks and obviously wide receivers are those sexy picks, but I feel like we had a sexy pick. I'll go out and say a sexy pick we had was Marshawn Lloyd, right? Like, if you don't feel it in your loins a little bit when you watch his highlight tape, man, I don't think you're a football fan. But I am stoked about that, man, and we'll talk about him more as we get into this. True also says, you know, never a bad idea to draft offensive line, even if it just becomes another guy, right? And the way the Packers offensive line room is going to look like is, I think it's just going to be a whole bunch of just another guy, because they're going to be that kind of a I don't know if you want to say it, andronymous crew, where like they're just going to fit everywhere. Like, you're not going to tell who's who. Who's better where? Like, they just want their best five offensive linemen out there. I'm liking the way they're building that group of guys. Cubs are going to take we're going to take Morgan, and the Cowboys are good.
Oh yeah, they killed an offensive line. You can say what you want about them Joneses, but when it comes to offensive line, they picked up Cooper Beebe. And they also picked up Tyler Guyton as well, too. So, and they were saying that Jordan Morgan wasn't going to come out of the first round. Like, he was going to get picked. Belichick on Pat McAfee show was really hyping him up. So, Yeah.
I
think you nailed it on the head. It's like LaFleur said that after the draft. He goes, you guys are probably sick of hearing me say this. He's up there with his, you know, torn pectoral muscle from bench pressing. And but it was funny. He was like, we're going to play our best five. And I think I really feel like we're going to see that hopefully this year more than ever before, right? Because you get scared. You see the Josh Myers pick, and you're like, see the Royce Newman pick, and you're like, oh, shit, are we going to, like, go do that road again? And just like when Josh Myers got picked, you had the Creed Humphrey pick a little bit right after, and people are saying the same thing about Graham Barton and Jordan Morgan. But the thing was, as much as you and me were hyping up Barton, especially me, right? But I think we both were.
Well, dude, he had a 9.99 RAS. Yes. Like,
yes, he's a beast. He's a beast. Yeah. But he wasn't like a he played tackle, but that's not his true position. His true position is interior, right? Like he is a bona fide center. And I think Jordan Morgan has been playing left tackle his whole freaking life. More than likely, he'll be a left tackle in the NFL, and then he'll fail to guard is what the thought process is there. But they need a true tackle. And you can see with the way they drafted this year, they didn't just stop there. I mean, they added other linemen too, right? And I think them adding some guys down later in the draft who do play true interior positions is really going to give a lot of competition across the board. I think the only person's position that's safe is going to be Zach Tom, but position unknown, even though he is a Pro Bowl right tackle, and Elton Jenkins, our left guard. I think everybody else is wide ass open.
Yeah. It's going to be some Thunderdome action, man. They're going to, it's not going to be two men enter, one man leave. It'll be what? The 8 to 10 guys that they have, they'll throw them in there, and the five last standing, it's going to be our offensive line, you know? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just to touch on that one more thing, where even the undrafted free agents we brought in the guy from Michigan, Jennings, and then another guy, Donovan Jennings, and another dude, Trenty something from Michigan. There's a lot of dudes we picked up from O-line where I really do believe that we have an opportunity to really get the best five and get some real depth. And hopefully we're not being loyal to guys because based on draft, you know, oh, Royce Newman's been here. I don't want to hear that. Like, at the end of the day, you know what you got there, right? So, but I was going to say True North is – look, he's spot on, man. Last year we killed in the second round. This year we killed in the second round. I mean, you can't – number one, you got the number one linebacker and probably the number one to number – probably top two safety in this draft class.
Yeah.
Sign me up, bro.
I got to say this about Edgerrin. Not the Cooper the Cheeseheads wanted, but the Cooper the Cheeseheads needed.
100%. 100%.
So I'm all there on Edgerrin Cooper, man. JB, man, he's going to be a bully back there at safety. They're going to use him a lot in the nickel is my prediction. Yeah. But we'll get more. We can get more into those guys as he sort of said, right? It wasn't overly sexy. So we'll get into the not so – we'll stay in the not so overly sexy and go into the UDFAs, right? They're fun. They're unknown. But, maybe one will make the roster. You know, some of these guys will end up on that practice squad. But, we could go through these guys one by one, or you could just talk about a couple that maybe stood out to you.
I'm going to mention a name, but I want you to talk about him. And it's the position that we have not gotten right. We have had many people here at this position. We have Rick Lovato, who was in Green Bay, and then he went to become an all-pro long snapper in Philly. We've had J.J. Jansen, who was also a person that was in Green Bay, and then he went to Carolina and became an all-pro long snapper. We have never gotten a long snapper position right since probably Brent Goode is probably the last decent long snapper we've had. And us bringing in Peter Bowden, who was considered to be Dane Brugger's number one long snapper in the nation, also wasn't drafted, undrafted free agent. Tell me about him, because you know me, I don't watch Wisconsin football. I'm an LSU guy. So tell me about him, and do we possibly have that position secure now? Hopefully.
I think so, man. He started off as a walk-on, right? Earned himself a scholarship. I think he did like 3 years of snapping there. He's going to be coming downfield with a head full of steam as soon as he releases that snap, you know, they make him selfless, you know, team orientated. You know, I mean, that's the long snapper position. That was my glory to the varsity football team in high school, was I got to long snap.
Yeah, right.
I just did it one day. It was my freshman year when I just like went over to the long snappers where they were practicing and realized, oh shit, I could do this, you know, pretty decent. But I've always had an affinity for long snappers, especially when they're coming out of the University of Wisconsin. Out of all the UDFAs, a note I put down here was, I think out of the UDFAs, he has the highest chance of making the team.
I agree.
Out of this crew. And that's kind of the way it is with your UDFAs, right? They're going to earn a way on the team by special teams, right? It's such a wild skill, special teams. You could be awful in an offensive or defensive position, but you can literally, you know, make a football team by just being nasty on special teams.
100%, man. I mean, there's guys that started on special teams and became, I mean, Terrell Davis started out on special teams and then he became an all-pro, all-fame running back, right? So I was like, everyone has had opportunities to basically, they, for the most part, will start somewhere. It's not about where you start, it's about where you end, right? And a lot, and, you know, I mean, Tremont Williams is a prime example of that, right? He was a unrestricted free agent out of Louisiana Lafayette, and you know what? Just got cut by Houston. We brought him in, and the next thing you know, it's all she wrote. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people just need to know, like, if you get a chance. And the Packers, I think, have a history of bringing in UDFAs and giving them an opportunity to at least start. And I think, you know, giving them a chance to make the 53. Or even from a practice squad. And I think because of that history, a lot of folks do come here. I was hoping we would get the kid out of Penn State. Junior Carson at Penn State. I liked him a lot. He went to Chiefs, unfortunately. Iowa Joe beat me to the punch. That's who I was going to say, was Donovan Jennings and then Trenty Jones. So Donovan Jennings is the guard who's out of USF. He had like a 9.9 or a 10 RAS score.
9.65. I noted it today. Yeah.
And he's
6'4", 323.
He's a big boy. And I was actually surprised that he went undrafted. He was a Shrine Bowl, I believe, a Shrine Bowl standout. Dane Boogler and Eric Galco were really hyping him up. And then, of course, you have Trent Jones out of Michigan. I don't think you can't go wrong with anyone coming out of that Michigan offensive line. I'm kind of surprised that not all of them got drafted. And
he was the sixth man. He was like, they called him the sixth man of their offensive line, and they would just plug him in where he needed him. Or when they would go to their big sets, they would bring on Jones at Michigan.
Barry 54, our old school running play call when we call him Big Barry out there. I remember that. Yeah.
And he was all Big Ten academic as well. Iowa Joe too. Another guy took note of.
Yes.
Six foot eight, right? Because can we train him and feed him to become the next Mercedes Lewis? That's my question.
He's basically there. Got the height. Just need to add maybe 20 more pounds and he'll probably be there, right? Shit. But I'm telling you, the UDFs they brought in, they brought the kicker out of Alex McNulty out of Buffalo. I mean, honestly, I'm perfectly fine with bringing in as much competition for our homeboy there. I'm just, you know, when it comes to oh my gosh, I cannot think of his freaking name. It's driving me crazy. Carlson, thank you. I was like, I was thinking about someone screaming Carlson. But I'm not a big fan of Greg Joseph. I don't really want him to make the team. The guy they brought in from Georgia, Podolsky, not really caring about him either. So, I would love to see some of these guys come in. This dude, Alex McNulty, had like a 68.5 completion percentage as a kicker. Not great, but not bad, you know?
Yeah.
The UDFAs, man, I'm just saying, like, we drafted so many safeties. And we drafted so many like offensive linemen. I was kind of surprised that we brought in even more UDFAs at the offensive line. But hey, I'm all for redoing that whole position.
Yeah. Special shout out though to Michael Bertoia. He's a UDFA out of UW La Crosse, right?
Good Division III
school. So it's like I love seeing it when those guys get their shot, right? Because Bill Schrader, right, wide receiver of the Packers, there, he made the roster for a couple seasons. He was a UW La Crosse guy as well.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll tell you, it just,
yeah,
it's like I said, if you get a homegrown dude, like I was kind of hoping Taylor Boratelli would kind of come to Green Bay, but of course, you know, the Colts scooped him up. But it's really, it's like, you know, Jared Abadaris got picked up by Green Bay, right? Like it just feels this feels cool to have one of these Wisconsin kids come home, you know, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to mini camp next week and really just trying to see like who really shines, all these tryouts, all these guys, you know, they get that one shot and they need to make the best of it, you know? So I'm really looking forward to it. They brought in a pretty good round class. They brought some receivers in that had some pretty good RAS scores. Julian Kelly? No, I think I'm saying it wrong. Julian Hicks of Albany. Like if you look at his numbers, RAS score wise, it's pretty good. But he's coming from like, you know, he's coming from a D3 school, right? So you don't really know, you know, but you know, like I said, you never know. They get an opportunity to come to the NFL, do a tryout, they could shine, right? But I'm looking forward to it, man. I think that Goody has done a really good job. He's been getting a little bit of hate from certain people when it comes to like some drafts, and some people said that they knocked out of the park. So okay, here we go. Yeah.
Iowa Joe, where did the edge from Platteville go? Blasek is his name. He went to Cincinnati. So he's he'll be there. So yeah, another Division III guy. And then clearly the Packers like Quay Walker because they drafted his clone.
I agree. I completely agree, man. Edwin's maybe like a beat faster, right? Because he runs a 4.51. Quay was at 4.52. But of course, Quay has like almost 18 pounds on him, give or take, right? So there's a big, you know, there's a big weight difference there. But I mean, Edwin Cooper was the number one linebacker in this draft class. And to team him up, the thought process is like you got yourself a Greenlaw and Fred Warner kind of combo. Honestly, if that's what we come up with, sign me up, bro. I am good to go, man. Like I don't think we have any idea what this defense is going to look like. And I think that's the scary part, right? We are used to literally year after year after year of being just let down on defense, right? Like every year. Like we had two good years, maybe three good years with Capers. We had maybe a year and a half good with Petten. But for the most part, we've just been and then you had a little bit, a couple moments here and there with Barry. But the truth is, like, we've just been let down. And I was on the Cheesehead TV draft show, and one of the fans was really passionate and very he was very he didn't want to talk bad about the defense, and everybody's like, dude, bro, just I get it, hopes are high, but you know, we've been let down many times, so until it happens, I you know what I'm saying, like I'm being optimistically curious, maybe is what it is, but yeah, I don't know. We're gonna really see what kind of comes out here.
So to finish up on the undrafted free agents, one guy that I like that they brought in was a running back from Alcorn State. I don't think he makes the roster, but that's like back-to-back years now that we've brought a kid in, a running back from HBCU.
Yeah, and, I like that a lot. I think that's pretty
cool. Emmanuel Wilson, right? He came from last year, and he made the roster. Wide receiver Julian Hicks out of Albany. He was a journeyman in college, Central Michigan, Akron to Albany. We'll see. Yeah. Two defensive linemen from the MAC. Neither of them are going to be Carl Brooks, so I'm not that worried about it.
No.
And then we did bring in a punter, too. So, right, the three most important special teams position, kicker, punter, long snapper, we brought one in. And I think this is something you should do.
Yeah,
I feel like that. Almost every season is like, keep your kickers and punters honest, because you know you go in your roster, right? You go to one during the whole season, and so they don't have that competition like every other position group has, right? Throughout the season, so like bringing in one guy at each position in camp is the way to go.
Yeah. I think that was a fault that they made last year, not bringing in competition for Carlson. I did like that how Whelan did have to compete for his punter job last year, and I think that bringing in someone this year for him doesn't hurt. But at the end of the day, like almost every position on this team there should be like some kind of competition. Like, hey, you know, you can't get complacent. You can't expect just because you're here and you were a starter last year that you're going to be a starter this year. And Gutekunst has really been pushing like a really young youth movement on the team. And you can see it with the way he's kind of been trying the bottom of the roster and how he's having mid-level to current, you know, starters as well too. Like 1A, 1B, 1C, you're kind of 1A, like A, B, and C, you're really seeing a real like youth group. I mean, Preston Smith might be the oldest dude on the team at this point. And if it wasn't for his production, is the primary reason why he's still here. But yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's crazy that they're doing it that way, but I love it because they paid Osric or whatever the hell his name is, a long snapper. They paid him a 3-year deal and pretty good money for a long snapping. He wasn't that great last year. I really do feel a lot of Carson's issues were because of the snaps were just low. And then, you know, Whelan had to do everything he can to save the snap and try to get the ball down as quickly as possible. So I don't put everything on Carson, but that's Rich Bisaccia's job to get that fixed.
Absolutely. And that's, man, I'm really hoping we get something, you know, an improved product, at, you know, for special teams, because it has cost us way too many games, like in the last five. Oh, shit. It's been longer than that.
Man. Yeah, more than that. Shit. Everything else is
just the onside kick.
Yeah. God, the onside kick and shit, even the onside kick in 2010 when the Patriots, when Dan Connolly freaking almost returned it for a touchdown. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, bro, there's been so many things that have gone wrong with special teams for so many years now. And then we're investing all this money in Rich. Like, he needs to start come on with a come on.
Absolutely. But May 2nd through the 4th, that's rookie mini camp. That's going to be some fun conversations. Because that's like, right, you know, that's this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to be able to like sneak into next week's episode because I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'm going down there for a bachelor party.
Oh, snap. Nice.
We got a beach house, I think near Huntington. And so we're going to do some surfing and hanging out on the beach. I'll be traveling back.
I'll run solo now. I'll have a picture of you next to me or some shit. We're going to have to figure something out.
I got to make a cardboard cutout or something.
Please. I need something. I need your presence to keep me going here. Yeah. Thursday night was tough, bro. Times
was tough. Yeah. But hopefully I can be able to sneak into that class. I'm going to take some of my gear with me. I might be like in an airport. Let's see if I can. Let's see what happens.
Hell yeah,
I'm curious. But let's dig into like the draft class. That's like 100%. Let's get into it. I don't know if you want to. We can just go, you know, round by round. We can we'll go right into some specifics. But I mean, we should talk about Jordan Morgan. I think, right, we got to talk about the number one pick on their own. I wasn't here when it happened, but it sounded like maybe you had a reaction to it initially.
I was just, again, it wasn't a sexy pick, but it was the right pick, right? And it was definitely the pick that I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting. Andy Herman had kind of prepared me for it because he even said that if we had stayed put at 25, that we're more likely going to take Morgan. He had put it as one of his top three players. It was just one of those things, like every year we have a player we fall in love with, and he's always there when it's time for us to pick, and then we always go some other way. But, you know, what happened this year? Guess what? Over the last few years, those guys that they picked turned out to be amazing. So I'm going to hold out judgment. But you're right, Jordan Morgan, you know, kid out of Arizona. He came back from an ACL injury in 2022, actually played the whole year in 2023. They're basically saying that his arm's kind of short, but doesn't mean that he can't play left tackle. He needs to work on technique. He does need to work on his hands a little bit, but he has a real agile movement when it comes to feet, nice, quick feet. And that he should be even, he didn't lose a single rep in the Senior Bowl when he was at the Senior Bowl this year. And that, he'll be another, like, so when ACLs happen, right, the next year they come back, they're still trying to get their legs up under them. It's the following years when they really get full strength. So if you think about it, he tore in 2022. So honestly, this year is a year that we should expect him to be anywhere close to as we can to be full strength. So I'm looking forward to it. He's started almost every single start's been at left tackle. He's a captain. He did have All-American Mac. Damn, he had something. He had some awards and stuff too, where he's legit, man. Like, he was a kid that wasn't going to come out. He was not going to come out the first round. Washington was thinking about trading back in to get him. Cowboys were looking at him. And I think that I wouldn't say he was a steal. I wouldn't say he was a reach. I think he was picked right where he was supposed to be picked. And yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do on the blind side. He gave a great interview. He said he'd be an honor to block for Jordan. And he said he doesn't care if he plays tackle or guard. He's like, he just wants to be out there. He wants to protect the quarterback and he wants to win games. I respect that.
Yeah. Gutenkoos said and quoted, he's just wired like a Packer, 2-time team captain, a really good dude, right? Yeah. He's just one of those guys that how can I best help the team? Like, I will do that for this team, right? Like you said, he's got those quick feet. He can play in space. So does it matter that he has a little bit shorter arms if he can move his feet and get his body to where he needs to be?
Right.
You know, I'm excited, right? He has the ability to play, you know, four positions for the Packers, you know? And he's already shown that he's willing to do it, right? He was a 4-year starter at Arizona, and he was I think he was coached by Pete Carroll's kid down there in Arizona too. So
just
a random fact there. but oh, yeah, yeah. I think something I'm gonna put on this too is that I think you know, offensively, for the guys that we drafted, he's probably the guy that should he has the potential of seeing the most snaps of all the guys that we drafted on the offensive side of the ball.
I think so. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
unless you see some competition with the guys in the later rounds. You know, I don't want to jump ahead, but you know, when it comes to, you know, yeah. Jacob Monk and stuff like that, possibility there where he can maybe challenge Myers. But you're right, though. I think Rashid Walker did admirably last year as a 7th-round pick going in and playing pretty well and getting better as the year got on. But, you know, he needs to take that jump if he wants to keep the job. Because if not, you know what, like, this is what, you know, both these guys have played left tackle their whole career. And so it's really going to be interesting to see that competition amongst those two in training camp. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So let's get into that second round.
Yeah, baby.
You know, and this has always been our wheelhouse. This has always been the Packers' strength, it feels like, is that second round. You know, that we get, you know, Edgerrin Cooper, you know, 9.13 RAS. You know, probably going to start immediately. He pairs well with Quay.
Yep.
You know, the Texas A&M Aggies, their season was kind of a forgettable season. But their defense was in the top 10 nationally.
Oh, shit.
And Cooper led his team in tackles for a loss, sacks, and forced fumbles. He's the only prospect in this class who can say that.
Holy, yeah, that's pretty badass. I had no idea.
So, you know, like, even though he's an athletic stud and he's you know, stuffing the stat sheet.
I was going to say, Edgerrin Cooper was he was a person that they were going to say was going to go in the first round. There was a possibility that an off linebacker would go in the first round. What I loved was, like, Goody did what he did last year. He traded back in the second round, acquired more picks, and still got his guy. You know, he picked Musgrave, and then he was able to trade back and still get Jaden Reed. He did the same thing here. And he said that even though Cooper DeJean was available, they had already worked out the trade with the Saints before they even knew that was occurring. So it seems like all these draft nicks, all these draft experts, and everybody had Cooper DeJean going to Green Bay. But the truth was, maybe they weren't really interested in Cooper in it. And if you listen to Gutekunst and LaFleur, what they were saying, they said that Eric Stokes looks good. He looks 100% healthy. They say Watson looks good, 100% healthy, and that they're expecting, and that Jair looks really healthy and looks good. So maybe Justus Mosqueda was right, where we don't need a corner. And that's the reason why they didn't really draft one until the 7th round, because they're happy with what they have in-house already, which made sense, you know? And then if you're looking at Cooper DeJean, people are really looking at him more like a safety than an outside boundary corner. And that's probably why he dropped into the second round. So to go back into the draft, still get your guy, Edgerrin Cooper, who I think is going to be possibly defensive rookie of the year based on the number of snaps he's going to be playing, based on the defense and the way this defense is supposed to be more of an attacking defense in comparison to being a passive defense like we have Joe Barry. And he more likely will be getting starting snaps with McDuffie, with Quay. And I can't wait, man. That's a lot of speed at the linebacker position. And
absolutely,
hopefully this can really turn our run defense around, because if you look at every player that got picked up on defense, every single one of them is really great at stopping the run. They all have amazing run stopping stats. And I think that a lot of focus was put into that. And if you look at that too, like if you look at defensive line, we got some UDFAs at defensive line.
Yeah.
We didn't draft any. So I think
I was surprised. Really
yeah. And I feel like that bodes well for Kenny Clark probably getting a third extension, you know? And yeah. If you
listen, I'd hope John, so.
Me too, bro. And then John Eric Sullivan even said it too, that he's expecting a really big jump from Devondre White, which then tells you right, because you have Devondre White, you have Slayton, you got Clark and
Colby Wooden.
And Colby Wooden was gaining weight too. He said that he's up to the 290s, so he can be with the big boys. That tells you right there.
Yeah.
He ain't going to be a backer. He's going to be a defensive lineman. So it makes sense why they drafted the way they did. And with Edgen coming in there and kind of holding that second level of the defense, I can't wait, man. And then on top of that, we already got Xavier McKinney, and it really looks like we got a dog in Javon Bullard. They say this kid is he is the unquestioned leader on that Georgia secondary. He is a dynamite stick with the way he hits. 5'11", 188 pounds, but he plays a hell of a lot bigger than he is. Has probably top 9 percentile in run stops and pass defense. And he was probably considered to be one of the best players on that Georgia defense. And if you recall in that game against Ohio State, he was the one that knocked out Marvin Harrison Jr., where he couldn't even come back. So I'm just saying, like, we got ourselves a dog here. And he runs like the wind. Like, his RAS score was in a top 8, top 9. And I just, you know, they can't stop going to the Georgia factory. I really feel like, you know, there's a lot of speed on this defense, man. And Javon Bullard is going to be that guy. He's going to be that dog, man. I really think so.
This defense is going to be fun to watch. Bullard in 2022, he excelled as the primary slot corner on that defense. And then this year he was that primary deep safety. Earn an elite coverage grade at both spots. He's, like you said, fearless tackler. He was Patrick Moore, a scout from Green Bay, described him as spirited, aggressive, smart. It's exactly what we need in the secondary. I'm stoked about him. He's the guy I think Cooper and Bullard could both be seeing a lot of snaps year one. The first three guys we picked, I think, could all see a lot of snaps.
I think the key word must all three of them is versatility, because they all have the ability. Like Jordan Morgan can play all four positions on the offensive line minus center, right? You look at Edgen Cooper, he can play a linebacker. He probably play edge a little bit coming off the line. There's a lot of highlights of him doing that. And then you look at Javon Butler, Freudian slip there. But maybe, you know, he free safety, strong safety, nickel. He can play all the – basically, even though he's not big enough to play a hybrid linebacker position, he has that ability to play basically anywhere in the secondary you need him in that safety area to include nickel, which is awesome because you don't have to be pigeonholed, right, when you got a guy that, like, if he's just a strong safety, then maybe he can't run well with people, right? And then if he's a nickel, then maybe he's not great on long distance, right? So you got guys that can really be interchangeable, which is a big thing that they were talking about when it came to Jeff Hafley's defense. I think he fits the bill with exactly what Gutekunst is looking for.
Yeah. I think, you know, the more I talk about the draft, I feel like the more he's nailed it.
Hell yeah.
So let's move into the third round. And it started off exciting and flashy.
Yes.
And then it ended with a big question mark.
Yep.
So let's start off with the exclamation point. First, that's Marshawn Lloyd. Goody says that we think his best football is ahead of him, right? Mm-hmm. He started off at South Carolina. He ended up at USC. Compact, well-built, with a burst of speed. He's got balance. He gets through contact. He broke 47 tackles last year. He caught 34 passes during his collegiate career, and they think that they can expand on that ability. He's a 23-year-old prospect, but he only has 291 carries. He Fresh still legs. Has some shred. He still has some shred on those tires, baby. So yeah, that's, you know, I'm excited about Marshawn Lloyd. He's the guy I think we're going to see in those passing situations. I think we'll see maybe some second and long draws to him. I don't know. They're going to find situations to get this guy the ball, because he averaged 7 yards a carry last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's has that ability to get chunk yardage. So I'm excited about this guy.
They kind of matched up his 10-yard split, and basically his 10-yard split's exactly like Josh Jacobs. You know, being like 5'9", you know, 220-some pounds, he's a thick dude. He's a really thick. He's the same height as, you know, as Aaron Jones, but he has like 40 pounds on Aaron Jones, if you think about it. Pretty wild, right? Because Aaron Jones, he came in the league at 190, but they said that he normally ran around 185, right? Okay. So you got a guy who's built really thick, real good lower base. What did Andy Reid always say? He wants to make sure his guys have a big ass. It sounds kind of weird, but it's true. It kind of it talks about explosion and stuff like that. And, you know, his RAS score, he had an 8.92, which is pretty good, right? And, you know, Daniel Jeremiah basically labeled him as the best running back in the draft. Mind you, this was one of those drafts where the running back position wasn't the greatest. Jonathan Brooks went a little bit earlier to Carolina. I was a big Jalen Wright guy. Who went to Miami. It seems like Miami just keeps getting richer when it comes to running backs. But you know what? Mm-hmm. They saw something in Marshawn Lloyd that clearly that they feel could be a great complement to Jacobs too. And then who knows? Like that pick, I feel like, does really put both Wilson and Dylan, you know, in a strong competition, because, you know, there's not enough positions. You know, you're probably going to carry like 3 running backs probably, right? So it's going to be interesting to see who kind of comes out on top of that. I was taken back by the pick, but once I started reading into it and just listening to the experts and seeing what they had to say, I was like, okay, crap. So I guess they knew what they were doing, because there's a reason why they granted him. Hey, running in the SEC to me, I thought was pretty good. So he has gone up against that kind of competition. And then, of course, him running at USC, he was basically unstoppable. Like you said, 7.1 yards per carry. That's pretty freaking amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And they also said he has special teams chops too. They feel like he could be a good kick returner as well with this new kick returning rules coming in, right? Now, Keyshawn basically was talking about his ass ain't coming off the field. I don't know if he was talking about special teams or if he was talking about being a nickelback, but you know what? He is an all-pro kick returner for a reason, so I don't know. Yeah. But I don't mind, like, if you're going to be playing him on defense, major snaps, then yeah, I'm like, okay, take him off some of those kick returns. Let Lloyd do it. See what he can do, right? Dude runs a 4.48. He in a 220. You get that thing going, you ain't trying to tackle that. So I was impressed. I felt like the way that Goody kind of manipulated the draft, he was able to get the guys he wanted to get. And like I said, those first 4 picks, we were all like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. That second pick in the third round, Tyron Hopper out of Missouri.
Yeah.
So I really didn't. I think everyone thought that was a head scratcher, right? His 40 time was not great at the combine, but then they said they timed him at 4.5. So they have him roughly on the 4.52 is what they were saying. So they have him roughly about the same time as, like, you have Quay and you have Cooper, right? He has some pretty good tape. He's a really he comes with a boom. Like they say that when he hits you, he's gonna come with everything. Man. He's an amazing run stopper. And that, you know, Missouri's defense, I mean, the Missouri team wasn't that great, but their defense was pretty damn decent, right? And it seems like he could be that guy that comes in. He's not going to be starting probably. Like I said, he's going to have reserve role, and he's probably going to be on special teams. Now, you're grabbing a special team player in the third round. I'm not a big fan of that. But again, everyone has to start somewhere, right? And that was a guy that came in for a top 30 visit, you know. So I guess, you know, that played into it a little bit. But yeah, what do you think about Hopper? What do you think?
All right. So that was my initial reaction. Was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this felt like a reach. I looked into it, right? His RAS didn't pop, but breaking it down, right? He does have great explosion grades, right? A good vertical and broad jump.
Yeah.
Like you said, extensive special teams experience. So I think that's where we see him at first. But he was described as a hit-and-run linebacker. I hope he doesn't get arrested like that. because we've been seeing some hit and runs in the NFL recently. But 31.5 tackles for a loss in 26 starts. You know, he spent some time at Florida as well. And Hopper played an essential, you know, role in Missouri's defense this year. He was highly utilized as a blitzer and in pass coverage. So I think that, like, and it was like 290 some snaps, I think, in pass coverage. And he only gave up like one passing touchdown in his college career. Yes. Right. And like you said, he's as a blitzer, he can wreak havoc and he's in a pop ya. And so I think that's the goal for him. I think in 2 or 3 years, you could be seeing him, like, when he comes on the field, you're going to be like, okay, so he's either going to be guarding the tight end or he's going to be trying to rip the quarterback's head off, right? So he's going to be a fun player to watch because, you know, you kind of know what he's going to do. He's going to do either A or B, and he does those two things really well. And that situation happens a lot in the league. And so in 2 years, I will be voting for Sheriff Hopper. He will be upfield, he'll be downfield, and he'll be in the upside down making plays. Sheriff Hopper, you heard it here, man.
I love it.
That's my guy. Man. So
hell yeah, dog.
I've seen stranger things happen in the NFL. So I'm not gonna sweat it. I think it's like we gotta let that one marinate a little bit.
100%.
So let's keep it moving here. Okay. Evan Williams, like, right, we hit this the second safety now. How do you feel when we see another safety come off the board again that quickly?
You know, again, like when Tyron Harper was picked, I wanted Cedric Gray, right? I was a real Cedric Gray guy out of North Carolina. I liked him a lot. So I was like, all right. So my heart was like, okay, whatever, you know, Goody knows what's up, right? Then here with Evan Williams, dude, I liked Evan Williams. He was at the Senior Bowl. He high energy dude, team captain, good blitzer on the Oregon team. Justice Mosqueda, who's a diehard Oregon Ducks fan, basically got a text message from one of our Oregon staffers saying that, hey, congrats on getting our best player on defense. So I took that as like, all right, clearly something's there, right? Because, you know, you don't just say that, right? Jaden Hicks out of Washington State was still available, so that's why I was, again, heartbroken. He eventually also went to the Chiefs. Yay. But the truth was, like, looking at some of the highlights that he had, I mean, there's a lot of players that we drafted that were giving Caleb Williams, like, fits. Like, just – you just saw, like, Evan Williams was just all over him, blitzing him, causing him to fumble. He just seems like a – they did. That was another thing, too. There was a run on safeties at that point. And I kind of wonder if the Packers, again, they kind of made that move like they did – kind of like what they got when they went and got Sean Clifford. Now, they didn't trade it for Clifford, right? But there was a run on quarterbacks. So they grabbed somebody who they weren't sure was going to be there when they were going to pick, right? And so, like, you know, people were mad Clifford got picked in the fifth round when he was an undrafted seventh round pick, you know, draft industrial complex ranking, right? Same through Evans. Evans was a seventh round consensus, and he got picked in the fourth. And they're like, yo, what the hell? But, again, high RAS score. Has extremely intelligent. Sam Steele had nothing but good things to say about this guy. He was when he was up there talking about these players that he was drafting, especially all the kids out, you know, West Coast. He was really like, you know, I don't really. It's the coach's job to figure out what to do with these guys. I just look at the player. Yeah. I look at the workouts. I just, you know, I do what Ron Wolf taught me. And he's like, you know, I just look to see who they are as a person, how they work out, how they play. And then, you know, we go from there. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And Evans came highly regarded. Again, he was a Senior Bowl standout. Jim Nagy had a lot of great things to say about him. And that I feel like intelligence was a big thing in this draft class. If you look at a lot of the players that got drafted, everybody, every single person had something about being extremely football IQ, high football IQ. And I think having that on both sides of the field, it goes a long way because, you know what, like, sometimes you got to hit the ground running and you got to learn on the go and you don't got time to sit there and like really break things down for some folks. Like you got to pick up and go. It was a cool pick, but a part of me was like, I was happy we got a safety, like another safety. I just was wish it was Jaden Hicks, but it's all good, man. Like I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him.
Yeah. He started his career at Fresno State, transferred to the Ducks. from what I understand, he led the Ducks in tackles.
See, there you go. Yeah,
he played almost 500 snaps of special teams, right?
Okay.
And through his special teams play, he's blocked a punt and he's blocked an extra point. So you get me a guy that knows how to like sneak in there, jump, explode, get his hand out and block kicks, man.
Yeah.
We know we've been on the end of those block kicks.
Yeah.
How much that sucks, right? You know, a scout for the Packers said, he says, I think he'll fit in our locker room because he's a good guy. We don't have to worry about him, right? They're looking for that culture, dude. They're like, right? Smart guys that are chill in the locker room.
Yep.
But then when they go out on the field, right, they leave it all out there.
They flip that switch, guys, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he'll go from leading – this is my guess for Evan Williams. He's going to go from leading the Ducks and tackles – to this year, he'll lead the Packers in special team tackles.
I agree. I completely agree with that. This special team snaps look good, man. He looks really, really, really clean on special teams. And he brings the boom. He definitely brings the boom, man. I think that's a good prediction right there. I'm gonna hold you to it.
That's good. Someone's gotta keep receipts on me because I say a lot.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
All right.
Jacob
Monk,
though, no else in the fourth round, right? Or fourth round, we got one pick, surprisingly. We had so many damn picks in day three. Like, what the hell? But
then we went on to Jacob Monk, and you know, maybe like you said, maybe he's Meyer's replacement, not Zach Tom, right? Because people have talked about Zach Tom going to center, but now I feel like Jacob Monk is our guy that I think is gonna develop and be in that position. You know, he's another versatile guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be versatile to be an offensive lineman in Green Bay at this point. So when you talk to people about Duke, you hear that he's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Guys want to follow him. They want to listen to him. And it comes out in his play style. He plays from whistle to whistle. And he's looking to bury you. He wants to hit you. And true North Packers fan too, right? Monk can help with the run game. He's got that right. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, what if he develops into the better offensive lineman from Duke in this draft class?
Yeah.
That's my dream is Graham Barton went so much. He went higher because of his athletic ability. Mm-hmm. I want to see Monk develop into the better NFL lineman, but we'll see. What are your thoughts on Monk?
So Monk and Graham Barton are best friends, which is pretty crazy, right? And they said that Monk actually played the true center position. He played all three interior. He played basically every position on the line, but he's mainly known for the interior, left guard, center, right guard, right? Athletic profile is actually very near to what Graham Barton did. He had a really good athletic profile, really strong, had an aversion to cold tubs. They broke out in cold tubs, right? but they said that he should be okay when it comes to cold weather, snow, things like that. It was just the cold tub, so it's kind of crazy. But when you listen to him speak, he was a two-time All-American football player. He also had he was a team captain, but I could be wrong.
He was.
And he was also, you know, he had like, I think 31 or 33 bench presses. He's a strong, strong dude. John Eric Sullivan had a lot of great things to say about him. Just said that maybe he thought the whole cold thing was in jest. He just says that he's a real strong, smart kid and that he feels like he can bring competition to the center and right guard position, which is what we need because we don't know if Sean Ryan's going to work out. We do know what we have in Josh Myers. He's extremely intelligent. He knows how to get all the plays out. But the problem is he's very, very inconsistent. And when it comes to his pass blocking, he's not bad. He's actually better at pass blocking than run blocking. The problem is that too often than not, does he look lost out there? You know, he does have great agility, great movement. So is Monk. And so I like the pick because it's finally getting guys in there that are true, like, you know, interior guys who have an opportunity to maybe unseat some of these guys that we've, you know, like we've had Myers now there since, you know, like for 3-4 years now, you know exactly what you're going to get with him. Like, if it hasn't turned on yet, it's not going to turn on. That's how I look at it, right?
What you see is what you get from him right now.
That's exactly right. And my thing is, like, is that enough? Like, is that enough for us? I don't think it is. I think that getting this kind of competition there is going to be great. And I think that kind of really goes right into, like, you know, the other linemen that we picked up as well in this draft. But before we get to the other linemen, let's talk about one of the Packers content creators, many, many Packer content creators, and just Packer fans in general, draft crush, who actually was selected in the fifth round. And his name is, I don't want to kill it here, Kitten Oladapo, Oregon State safety. Now, people have been hyping this dude up. He came
in. Which creator was that had a crush on him?
Oh, man. Maggie Loney, Perry Colstein, Aaron Nagler. I mean, everybody was really hyping this dude
up.
I think the only person that may or may not have been too keen on some of these picks was Ross Uglum. He was like, you know what? These guys weren't high on my consensus board, but, you know, Goody knows what he's doing, so I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt. And I agree with that, too. But Oladapo, they said that he is another guy who has highlight reels of literally wrecking havoc on Caleb Williams. I'm just telling you, like, intercepting him, blitzing him, sacking him, getting him to fumble, dude. Like, he's just a good kid. And he just also another team captain. He, at his draft party, he looked like he had just had foot surgery because he had like a soft cast on his left foot. So clearly he's going to his spider curve for some kind of injury. So hopefully he'll be good to go for camp. But another safety, it's crazy to think that they completely redid the safety room, just like they redid the tight end room last year, and to a degree kind of redid the wide receiver room too last year, right? Goody finds a deficiency and he's like, all right, we're gonna clean it out. We're gonna start fresh. And he did it. And you know, maybe he's getting a little ballsy here after he saw the results of things kind of took a little while to kind of get together, but then they took off, right, last year on offense. Yeah. Maybe he's feeling the same thing on defense when it comes to the safety room. So no, Kitten Oladapo, what do you think?
Big, physical, loves to be in the box. He's willing to, you know, try to punch, you know, ball runners in the face, you know. So like he's gonna be in there on running downs. I think that's gonna be the way he first gets on the field.
Yep.
He led all drafted safeties in run defense grade last season per PFF. So, I mean, there's evidence to back that up. I like this part. He's a former walk-on cornerback, and he transitioned to safety. And he's earned all Pac-12 honors in each of the last three seasons. He's versatile. He can and he's another guy that's played a lot of special teams. So from a former walk-on cornerback into a special teamer to a three-year starter, I see what they like about him. He's got that chip on his shoulder. He's going to be he's got that Packer mentality. I like it. You know, like I said, the more we talk about the draft, the more I'm liking it, the more I like just rebuilding one offensive, one defensive position group every draft. Like how genius is that?
Hell yeah.
So obviously there's, you know, we're a lot of excitement over that safety group. Let's wrap up this offensive line group. Travis Glover, right? At this point, sometimes some of your picks, you see a few things you like about a guy and you just kind of throw shit at a wall and see if it sticks. I like this guy, and what was it? He Soder said earlier, Packers draft strategy seems to just borrow the bingo revolving ball from the VFW and throw the entire Senior Bowl roster in there.
Just about.
And so that's right. You know, Glover was another guy, solid Senior Bowl. He wants to punish guys. He was a five-year starter. You kind of wish like if maybe he would have gone to like a Power Five conference or maybe, you know, bumped up in competition.
He's a big boy. He's a big kid, man. The big kid.
And so he's got a lot of experience, massive frame, incredible length. You know, let's see what he's got. Let's put him in there. Low RAS score though.
Yes. He was the one that had the lowest RAS score, but it's funny. Like Brian Baldinger actually did a little clip on him. and was like, hey, this kid could be really good. He just needs time to develop, you know? And he says he's a massive human being. He has quick feet, just needs time to, he played at Georgia State. So he needs time to kind of get with the competition that he's going to be in the NFL. He won't be a starter right away, but he could become one down the road. You know, when Brian Baldinger talks, you listen, right? He's definitely knows his shit when it comes to, you know, NFL talent and college talent. So getting a guy like him so late in the draft, I'm like, hey, man, sign me up. Like, and a day, like we always say, you can't hurt to get more offensive linemen. Big men like him don't grow on trees. And so maybe if he did have a better workout, or maybe that he played at a different school, maybe he would have had it. And he was a 5-year starter, right? Yeah. So, like, he has the criteria that the Packers look for when it comes to experience, when it comes to size, when it comes to length. He has everything they look for in offensive alignment. And so he could be the kind of dude that may fails into guard. But that's fine, though, because we do need interior. We do need more depth at the online, offensive line position. So sign me up, man. And that's a crazy thing. We stacked up on offensive line. And then after that, our seventh-round picks kind of closed out, where Gutekunst did talk about trying to go back and start drafting quarterbacks every year, right? And, yeah, you know, he went and got Clifford last year in the fifth round, and people were like, what the hell are they doing? And then they saw him at training camp, like, okay, he has a pretty live arm. So they're like, all right, he might not be bad. And then Michael Pratt, who was had like a third, fourth round grade, got him in the seventh round. He was also in for a top 30 visit. They said that he has a pretty average to maybe a little bit above average arm, but his accuracy and placement's pretty sweet. Yeah. And that folks do feel that, you know, he also played at Tulane, and he was one of the Tulane. He actually beat Caleb Williams in a bowl game, which is pretty cool.
Cotton Bowl. Right?
And the truth is like, folks are saying that he could be the kind of dude that can develop under Green Bay's coaching staff, under Tom Clemens, for as long as he stays, and then eventually maybe trade away for picks. So he could be our Matt Hasselbeck, or, you know, Mark Brunell or something like that. So
really looking Brooks. For-
Aaron Matt Brooks,
Flynn, I mean, right? Yeah. Like that's our MO, right? Some people were saying, like, I was saying that was like a 90s thing, but I was just like, well, Hasselbeck and Flynn, those were the 2000s, weren't they? So
yeah, 100%. So I'm looking forward to seeing like how he develops, and then, you know, what are your thoughts on him? And then I'll let you close out with our last guy.
Yeah. You know, he threw 90 touchdown passes, and he ran in 28. More. Yep. He threw at least 20 touchdown passes and fewer than 10 interceptions during all four seasons at Tulane. Right. So he had a good touchdown to interception ratio in his entire collegiate career. Like you said, not a powerful arm that's going to like overwhelm you.
Right.
He's got that accuracy, and he's got that touch that, like, yes, he can just drop the ball in there. He didn't play he didn't play football until he got into high school too. So like, he's a guy that's still developing. Yeah. So like you said, I agree with you 100%. Exactly what I think he's here for is to be a solid backup. I think he has the ability to beat Clifford out for the backup position now.
Right.
And in 2 or 3 years, we're going to turn him into a third or fourth round pick. That's beautiful, man.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. Kalen King, last guy of the draft. He was almost the first guy of the draft, apparently, at one time. Not this draft, obviously, the year before.
Right.
So he has the potential to be the steal of the draft. He said himself that he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. You know, a potential first rounder in 2022. He regressed in 23. He did not test well. The King's Redemption Tour, right? King's Redemption. It sounds like a movie. I hope we can help this man refine his confidence. I think he has the potential of being like a CB2.
Yeah.
You know, but we got to help him find that swagger. We got to help him find his mojo. Like, that's our last pick as a guy who could be the steal of the draft. But, you know, that's freaking fantastic, man. What do you think about that?
He gave his interview with the Green Bay Press was extremely emotional. And it wasn't like, he wasn't just happy to get drafted, but he was pissed. Like, he was really pissed that he went in the seventh round, and that he knows that he's a lot of doubters. He wasn't really happy with the way his tape looked last year, and his 2022 tape was outstanding to the point where he was considered a number one corner, probably first corner, first round. And he just had a bad tape this last year. Also, he had a bad workout. He improved on some of his times at his pro day with Penn State. And so people really do feel like he has the ability to play safety, which would be crazy, getting another safety, right? Or play nickel. Yeah. They said that he has the real good chops at nickel. He just, the way he was talking in that interview made me feel like, wow, we may have gotten a steal here, because he has this massive chip on his shoulders that's never going to go away. I mean, he has so many haters and doubters out there that he is fueled by that to prove everybody wrong. And I think that's amazing. And I think that, like, he played at a good program. He has good tape. Goodkins does find these guys. Like, Jordan Love's a prime example of that. You know, his 2019 tape was, as you know, his 2018 tape was outstanding. And then his 2019 tape was crap, right? And people were banking, Goody was banking on that 2018 tape coming alive. And guess what? That's exactly what occurred, right? And Kalen King is, they're kind of hoping the same thing. And I feel like if anybody can get the best out of this dude, it's going to be Derek Ansley, our defense passing coordinator, and to include Jeff Hafley. The fact that he has developed so many corners and so many marquee name corners like Richard Sherman and, you know, Daryl Revis and other folks have spoken highly of Hafley. If anybody can get the most out of Kalen King, I feel it's him. I mean, you had other players too. You had Jaden Reed that was, and Sauce Gardner coming out and posting on their Instagram stories like, hey, you know, happy for you. People sleeping on you. They ain't got no damn choice. They don't got a clue what they're doing. But I can't wait. I got, you know what? Like, getting a corner like him, like Carrington Valentine in the seventh round, and having the ability for them to really prove to everyone that, you know, over 200 and what was his pick was? He was like 255, right? Yeah, 255. So 254 other players were taken before you. So, you know, 31 different teams decided to pass on you 254 times. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You got a chance now to prove all of them wrong. I can't wait. I think that he's going to be awesome.
I'm hoping that, you know, this next season, I think he's going to make the roster, but the following year, I think he could, like I said, CB2, right? That's like, I think his ceiling. I don't think he's going to be like a jaw, like your number one guy for cornerback. But even if he ends up in the nickel and playing a lot of snaps, I'm excited to follow this young man's redemption tour.
Same.
But before we try to wrap it up, though, I got three questions for you, Ummer. Okay. Before we wrap it up tonight, and first one is favorite pick, man. Who is your favorite pick this year?
Honestly, from like an emotional, I'm riding dying with this guy, and I want to really see him prove everybody wrong, is Kalen King. But I'll be honest, my favorite pick was probably, like, it's probably a 1A, 1B between Cooper and Bullard. I love them both, and I was a big Cooper guy coming out. So I'll say Cooper. I'll give the hedge to Cooper.
Right on. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd. Cooper was mine, but I don't want to double down right now. Yeah. Cause the first time I ever did a mock draft this year, Edrin Cooper was my first pick of my first mock draft. I went back and looked at it and I was like, oh, cool. Like, it's, you know, I like how that worked out. But Marshawn Lloyd is my favorite pick just because I think he's going to make some splash plays this year. He's, you know, another weapon to this deadly offense. So I'm excited to see what he can contribute to this offense. And the fact that he, you know, like I said, not a lot of carries in his collegiate career. So I think he's got a lot left in him.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is, who is your slow cooker draft pick? Who are you going to put in that crock pot, and you're going to put it on low in 2 or 3 years? You're going to be like, holy crap, like, this guy really developed into what we needed him to be.
I got to go with Jordan Morgan just because the way I reacted to his pick, I can't escape that now. You know, Jordan Love, Rashawn Gary, you know, even a little bit of Lucas Van Ness. So, you know what? I'm gonna stick true to my haterade on this and go with Jordan Morgan, hoping that a reverse psychology works and he becomes our left tackle for the future for the next 15 years.
Yeah, I dig it, man. And even if, like, you know, what you said earlier, if he even fails into guard, the crazy thing is about his ability is, like, he could do that and still be all pro at guard, you know? Hell, so I love that. I think that's a great pick. My slow cooker pick, kind of talked about him earlier. I was excited about him. That's Tyron Hopper, right?
Okay. I think, yeah, it's a good pick.
Right, where he a lot of people are wondering, we took this guy, he's gonna be a, you know, like you said, my brother texted me the same thing. We drafted a special teamer in the third round. and so then when I went and found his tape and then like what people are saying about him, it's just like, he's really good at blitzing. And he's really good at pass coverage, right? Those are his things. So I was just like, you know what? He's going to work his way into the rotation. We're going to find that purpose. We're going to develop him. Tyron Hopper's my slow cooker.
Okay.
And then one more is, you sure about that? So who's your pick that you thought, you know, that you sure about that?
Evan Williams. It got to be Evan.
Evan Williams.
Has to be
okay.
We traded up for him. We traded up into the fourth round for him. I felt like there's a lot of the safeties out there that we could have grabbed, or we could even waited for, or we get traded up and gotten. And that is a guy that I feel like Goody must have some kind of thought on what he can do. And that's why they got him. Because, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of his. I am listening to the experts and seeing what they say, and they're like saying that he could be pretty decent. But you know, again, I feel like he's our Sean Clifford this year. I do really feel like that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. You know, that's kind of like where I was at as well with mine, because they traded up. Like,
yeah,
I felt like, you know, like you said, there was like a run of safeties. I think he would have still been there that run of safeties. And I guess my you sure about that is probably I'm gonna double down on my guy Tyron Hopper, right?
Hey, I don't blame you, man.
You know, like, he could turn out to be a special teamer on this team and be with us for, you know, a handful of years. But picking a guy in the third round, you hope, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that those blitzing skills and that pass coverage skills that he has showcased to the college level, I hope that can make the transition to the NFL level, because there's a chance, you know, 2 or 3 years, they're like, well, those skills didn't translate. He's just a special teamer. You know, his rookie contract ends and it's see you later.
Mm-hmm.
But so Tyron Hopper is my, you sure about that?
All right. And, all right. I like it.
But yeah. Any last words, any last thoughts about these guys? You know, anything you want to put out there, any takes or thoughts or predictions?
I'm excited. I'm just excited to see the Packers be a top five defense, and Edgen Cooper going to be a defensive player of the year, defensive rookie player of the year candidate. I'm looking for those two things. Those are my takes right there.
Right on. And I'm looking forward to Edgen Cooper gonna get that defensive rookie of the year. Now that you said it, Ummer. I'll keep that receipt on you.
Then. Yes, sir. Sounds good to me.
And I'm looking forward to seeing where Jordan Morgan lands, and if he just kicks it off at left tackle straight away. But I just also want to put it out there that I'm loving Goody's strategy and rebuilding one offensive position, one defensive position each draft.
Yep.
Let's see what he does next year. And Goody, I trust in the draft from now on. And speaking of the draft, we're on the clock that in 1 year, you know,
we're going to be in Green Bay.
And we're going to probably try to create some content while we are there. So looking forward to next year's draft as well. That's some of my last words. Another fun episode of Coast to Coast Packers. Thanks for everyone joining us tonight. Ummer will be back next week. I might be able to drop in. We'll see. I'm going to be catching waves in sunny California.
Enjoy yourself, man. Don't worry about it. You can jump in. I would love to have you there. But if not, man, enjoy yourself, man. It's all good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll catch you next week, everybody. I'm Bernie Bango.
I'm Ummer Desai. Go Pack.
Go Pack. We'll be right back.